Take your Bibles, Romans chapter number 8. Let me ask you the question this morning, why should God love us? Seems no earthly reason why God should love us. There's nothing that we've done to make him love us. But Jesus loves us in spite of everything. And today I want to entitle the message, A Divine Portrait of Divine Love. You know, love, the world seems to talk about love all the time, but they really don't really understand and know what true love is. I think it's so important today in our society as we live. And I'm grateful today for my wife and I, and I'm sure many of you have been married 49 years. What a wonderful time it's been, and I'm grateful that God's gave us that time together. Has it been easy? No. Has there been some problems down the road? Yeah, every now and then. You say, well, I can't believe it. Well, you believe it. It's happened. But you know what? We never stopped loving one another. We never stopped caring for one another, and it made a big difference. And so today, I want to just begin by reading Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you for your love this morning. Lord, we know that you loved us, and I believe today many people know that you love us because you died on the cross to give us salvation. However, today there's many people that question your love when heartache, disappointment, and trials come our way. But Lord, again today, I believe that we can trust you for every need that we have in our life and understand that you know what's best for us. And Lord, if we'll follow, you'll lead us in the path that you'd have us to go and to do the things we need to do in order that we might show our love back to you. Lord, we love you because you first loved us, but we love you because you've commanded us today to love you with all our heart and all our soul and all our might. Lord, today I pray that your name be exalted, lift up, and glorified. And we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. I want to take these verses and do just a little bit of analysis and try to share some information with you that I hope will be a help to you. But honestly, in the day in which we live, there's many things happen that we say, just really, I'm a Christian, I believe God, but it just don't make sense. In fact, there's been more hurricanes lately, at least it seems like to me. What happened over in Maui in Hawaii, that total island was destroyed. People were killed. Out in California, they're having mudslides, typhoons. There's all kind of things going on around about us. And honestly, one of the hardest things for me is when I'm trying to talk to somebody lost, they don't want to talk about what Jesus did for us, but they want to talk about what he hadn't done for us. At least they feel that because he's allowed these things to happen. But friend, I learned a long time ago, if you're faithful to God, God will be faithful to you, and he'll lead you in the direction he'd have you to go. We ask the question today, why does God love us? There's really no earthly reason that he ought to love us. We're all sinners. We fail him daily. We stray from him. Yes, all of us stray from him from time to time. We neglect his word. We neglect prayer. We neglect the house of God, worship, and everything that he's commanded us to do. And society today is in a spiritual mess because we've turned away from God and the things of God, and seemingly they really don't matter. And we need to understand today a love relationship is an everyday experience. Could I go a step further and say it's an every minute relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? But why does he love us? He loves us because he saved us. Now just suppose today, and this is just a thought, but suppose today, as we think about this, that somebody was about to be, let's just say hit by a train. That just seems to come to my mind. But going to be about to be hit by a train, and your family member, your son maybe, ran over and knocked them off the track just in time, but unfortunately, your son died. Friend, I believe today that Jesus Christ died in order that we might be saved because he loved us. And we might have a tendency sometime to question, Lord, why? Why does this happen to me? Why did this happen to my family? Why did this happen to my child? Friend, I don't understand, and I don't need to understand. I just need to hold His hand and put my faith and trust in us. He loves us, and He loved us even before we got saved. The Bible said, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Jesus loved us. I love Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. The Bible said, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. I got away from where I was going with that, but I'm going to tell you, if somebody saved your life, you would be grateful for that person that saved your life. And irregardless of whatever, you would be thankful, especially the father of the son that was killed, would be thankful that this man risked his life. Yet Jesus Christ commendeth His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ dies for us. The word commended means to make known by action, to demonstrate, to know exactly what He's talking about. You know, today, I guarantee you, all of you would stand and say, I love the Lord. I love Jesus. And I know you'd say it with sincerity, and I know that there would be no doubt in your mind that you love Him. But the truth is, do you really love Him? Yes, He's God of all existence, but you love Him enough because of what He's done for us. In Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 7, but God, who is rich in mercy, with great love wherewith He had loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Can I let you in some good news today? God loved us before we were saved. God loved us after we were saved, and God will always love us. His love will never cease. For me, that's an amazing truth. It's important to understand. In fact, it's a life-changing truth when you understand God loves you. I don't know why He should love us, but He does. The truth is astonishing when you stop and think about it. Who are we? And who is God? And God is much higher than we, and God is much greater than we. And we need to thank Him for what He wants us to do. This is a truth today that I want to explore as we look at the familiar passages of Scripture and try to understand. But no matter what happens, and even this, and please, I have to be careful what I say sometimes because people will take it out of context. But you know, even when we sin, God still loves us. Even when we sin, God still loves us. You say, well, there you go. Then, but if you sin, preacher, you may lose your salvation. No, that's not the case. Did you not get the verses I just read? He said, there's nothing shall separate us from the love of God. So there's nothing we do that'll make God stop loving us. However, there's things we do that make we turn away from God. God is going to chasten us and try to bring us back. But I believe this passage of Scripture today teaches a wonderful truth that God loved us in the past. He loves us today, and He's going to love us forever. In these verses, we notice some characteristics that are given about the nature of God's love for His people. And by the way, could I tell you today, there's no greater love than the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody that I know that has ever gave their life for someone else. And I know there's people that have, but they died as a result of it. I heard the other day where some people were drowning, and the father or somebody went out after them, and yet the boy was saved, but the father drowned. But yet the truth I want to explore through these familiar verses is that we may build on knowing and have no doubt. Friend, God loves you. There's got to be times in your life when things wasn't going well, when things didn't make sense, when things didn't add up. You said, does God love me? In fact, I've had people tell me, as I visit people, they'll say, I just don't think God loves me. You just don't know, preacher. I said, sure He does. And they said, but you don't know what I've done. It makes no difference what you've done. God still loves you. No matter your son or your child, that may not always do what is right. But you still love them because they're your child. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're a child of God, and God loves you. The first thing I want you to notice in verses 35 and 36 is God's love is a abiding love. God's love is an abiding love. I tell you, it abides with us every day. I'm grateful the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Regardless of what comes our way, no matter what the twists and turns of life may bring, there's nothing, do you hear me? Nothing that can come between me and the love of God for my life. Enduring love, His love for people will endure no matter what and how people attack or things do. There will be times when we'll wonder if God loves us. There will be times when we'll fear that He's forsaken us. I'd remind you of a powerful truth. God loves you, and He promised you that through this world and even into eternity, He will still love you. And boy, doesn't He? We're not preaching on heaven this morning, but I could give you enough reason right there for you to know why He loved us, because He's given us a place called heaven. I preached a funeral yesterday, and I mentioned that funeral, as I often do. There's two choices. There's two places. There's heaven or hell. And no matter who you are today, you're going to spend eternity in one place or the other. You said, oh, do you really believe that? Let me tell you, I've been in the ministry for 45 years, and I've seen the hand of God. I've read the Word of God, and I've heard the voice of God reassuring me that His abiding love would be with me forever. I'd like to remind you of that truth. Hebrews 13:5 said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Lost my place. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Matthew 28:20. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God's promise today to you and I is that nothing will ever come between us and God. Now, there's two kinds of people. There's people that go through difficulty in life, and then they say, does God really love me? Has God forsaken me? Has He turned away from me? Has He completely gone the other direction? And then there's people that'll, something will happen and comes along, and they'll become bitter and angry toward God. Could I just stop right there and tell you, you're on dangerous ground when you get mad at God. The one that loved you, the one that died for you, and the one that's going to love you through all eternity, in spite of you hating Him or saying things about Him, He's still going to love you. But yet today they turn in the opposite direction. Who can cut us out of Jesus? The word we think about here is the word amputate, take away. Many people have experienced amputations of legs and limbs and all kind of things because of cancer and various things that come their way. But I want you to know today, nothing can ever separate us or take us away from the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what happens in life. Again, I use the term. You know, oftentimes you hear people, they'll say, you know, well, they'll be back when they get married. They're in love. I tell you, when young people fall for one another, they fall hard. And they love, and they think, they don't understand sometimes the downfalls and things of marriage. And then there comes something. I had a fellow one time, he was a pastor, and he did some things that he shouldn't do, and he's not in the ministry anymore. But I remember him coming to me, and he said, I just don't love my wife anymore. And I said, well, you know, I don't think you got a choice. I said, you better learn to love her, because the Bible teaches us the importance of that. But yet, and I understand, I know things happen, but there's nobody will ever be able to divorce me or separate me from the love of God. I tell you, He loves me with an eternal love, and I pray that I could recipiate with the same kind of love toward Him. The word means divide. Divide. Nothing can divide us. The devil is the only one that can get in between us and God, and if he gets in between us and God, we're the only ones that can allow him to work on us to get us to turn away from God. And though the important thing today, I really want you to understand, and I know it's easy to say God loves you and I could have said him. But the truth is, God, as Brother Chan would say, God really, really, really loves you. And there's nothing that can separate that. Life can throw many curveballs. Paul mentions some of the trials that we might encounter as we go through life. He talks about tribulation. The word tribulation means internal pressure. I don't know about you, but I've been under some internal pressure from time to time, going through some things right now physically, and we don't understand, but it's a kind of a intense pressure that's come in my life. But Paul said that pressure cannot separate you and the love of God. Distress, extreme afflictions, what it means. Everybody would say today that they've had distress. Now, here's another one that I don't think we have encountered. Perhaps you have, and I won't say it that you haven't. But the word persecution. I'll be honest with you today. I've had some trials and difficulties in my life, but I don't believe I've ever been persecuted for standing up for God. Now, you say, so everybody's always been nice to you? Oh, no. I've been cursed at. I've had the door slammed in my face. I've had all kinds of things happen. But do you understand that's not a sacrifice and that's not tribulation? Could I remind you today what a tribulation is? Is tribulation when it comes in your life, and it comes in your life because you're doing something for the Lord and you're not being faithful to Him. It's talking about a systematically organized program on God's people because of their relationship with Him. I think of the people in Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you haven't read it, you ought to. A lot of people literally gave their life. To them, they know what persecution is. But to the modern church today, I can't say that we know any persecution. Oh, you never had no problems in the church? Oh, we've had problems, no big problems. We have problems every now and then. But you know what? It's nothing to sneeze at compared to people that gave their life for the cause of Christ and stood up for Him. Then there's the words famine and nakedness. Famine and nakedness refers to deprivation or a person being forced without the physical necessities of life. The physical necessities of life, we need food and we need clothing. And truly today, even without that or whatever we find here, if we're forced into those things, we still have the love of God in our life. Let me move quickly. Peril. Peril refers to the dangerous circumstances of living in this world. Peril, the circumstances, the dangerous circumstances of living in the world. I like that song. He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. Then He uses the word sword. And that speaks of a believer giving his or her life as a martyr for Christ. And I'm going to tell you today, John the Baptist's head was cut off and laid upon a platter, but he was faithful to God to the end. You know why? Because God loved him. Friend, I remind you, you said, well, if God loved him, why'd He let that happen? I don't know, but I know it was His plan and His purpose, and God allows these things for a reason. When we are persecuted, we are forced to endure because of our relationship with Him. Look at verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what the Word of God tells us in Psalm 44 and verse 22. Crushing poverty, hatred, persecution, imprisonment, torture, and death were all the dangers that the early believers had faced. There's some of these things we don't know anything about. We just read about them because we haven't been there. But the people that he was writing to and the people that he was expressing to, he was reminding them of all these things, and that rang a bell with them. Now, I'm not saying today we haven't had any problems with persecution or maybe problems with other things, but nothing amounts to compare to what these people had gone through. For us, tribulation speaks of any kind of pressure we face in life. Man, I had a bad day today. Boy, I'm going through some trials. If you've been around very long, you probably had a bunch of bad days. You better get used to them, but just understand today that God still loves you. We all face tribulation. Now, here's where some of you can agree with me. Physical pain. There's a bunch of it today that here, and you really don't feel like being here, but you're here because you love God and you want to be faithful to Him because you love Him too. And then there's emotional turmoil. We go through life today where there's emotions are involved and things happen and hinder us and it becomes an upheaval in our life. Then there's mental stress. Think today, the mentality of people and things they're going through. Recently, I've just seen some things that is amazing that people are suffering, even mentally. And then spiritual upheaval. You know, the devil hates our church. In fact, the devil hates any church that's preaching the true Word of God. The devil hates you being here today if you're not saved because he don't want you to hear the Word of God and be saved. But I can tell you today, God still loves you and He wants to save you. tribulation? I don't think so. I can't really think of no tribulation much that I've gone through. Somebody said the other day to me, they said, I think the tribulation's coming before the rapture. They said, I always believed that it would come after the rapture, or it would come anyway, during tribulation, in tribulation. I said, I don't believe that no more. I believe we're going through the tribulation now. You can rest your bottom dollar on the fact. I don't believe we're going through tribulation now. You said, but look what's going on. That is nothing compared to what will be when the true tribulation comes our way. The second thing I want you to notice with me is found in verse number 37. And so he gives all these things, and then he said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through love to us. You know today, and don't misinterpret me or take away from what I'm about to say, and I don't blame anybody for people that did not come Wednesday night because of the hurricane. I know some couldn't come because they didn't have electricity and water, but I'm still thankful today that even, I put it in the bulletin, even in the fact that God gave us such a good crowd on Wednesday night, in spite of all the circumstances, the turmoil, number one, we could have been cleaning up trash around our house. We could have been sitting in the dark like a lot of people were, but thank the Lord he provided. You know, that was my thought when I started out. I didn't cancel because the sun had come out, but on my way to church, I said, boy, I hope the electricity's working. Well, I got here, and the air wasn't working. And so we began to run around like chickens with our head cut off, and it just was a breaker on the back wall. But I'm telling you, the devil wants to destroy. He wants to destroy everything we do and take it away from us if he can. But God has an abiding love, but God's love is an activating love. You know, I've told you all the matters that cannot separate us from the love of God. It teaches us in adverse conditions that we still ought to serve the Lord in spite of the tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, to prove the Lord's love for his people. God proves his love amid our difficult conflicts. Did you get that? I hesitated a little bit when I said it, but do you understand God's abiding love is shown to us in difficult circumstances? Do you know today, if we never had trials, if we never had temptations, if we never had things that came up in our life, we'd never know how much God loves us. Somebody said, if God loves us, then he's going to take us to heaven. Well, hang on a minute. He's going to take you to heaven if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's simply no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So a lot of people get the idea we're saved forever, so that means we can live like we want. We can ignore the Word of God. We can ignore the house of God. We can ignore all those things, and everything will be all right. Hang on just a minute. I want you to know that if we didn't have the trials to come, in fact, Paul thanked God for his trials, and I thank God for my trials. Do you want them to come? No. Do you pray for trials and tribulation and heartache? No. But I'm going to tell you something. There's never been one that God has allowed to happen to me that he did not demonstrate his love to me in one way or the other. Friend, today I'm trying to get you to understand the depth of the love of God. It's more than the fact that God loves you, or somebody said Jesus saves, and there's nothing wrong with those terms. But the love of God is so great, is so deep, is so wide, that there's nothing can overcome it, and we are more than conquerors. The word conquerors, you know that. It means that we overcome. We're able to do what God would have us to do in spite of it. In fact, I believe we'd say that many people with things they've gone through are super conquerors because of the many things through their life. In life's problems such as that mentioned in 35, we can come between us and the living God. Then somebody said this, who should separate us from the love of Christ? If verse 35, tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or taking a sword. He said anybody that can come through that, if those things mentioned, if those things don't happen in our life, perhaps maybe we've not saved. Because I'm going to tell you, I hate to tell you, and I don't hate to tell you that, but I want you to understand. When God shows his love, sometimes he shows it in a difficult way, and we don't understand. God's salvation will produce an endurance of God's love for us. Persevere. You know, today there's no great, well, again, I have to be careful how I say things. For us and our family, and excluding the fact that we love God, there's no other love any greater than our family love. I loved my children. I still do. I love my grandchildren. They're precious. I love them dearly. And I tell you today, we know what kind of love that is. But friend, would you understand? So what do we want? We want our children to love us. We want our children to fellowship with us. We want our children to be around so that we can spend time with them. But yet today, many people don't understand that and they walk away. But the truth is, that's the problem today. Don't walk away from God's love. Walk toward God's love. And so today, if you love your children, you'd hate to see one of them go the opposite direction. Or I've heard of children divorcing their parents. Well, they can do anything nowadays, I guess. But they hear talk about children divorcing their parents. Friend, today, I'm going to tell you something. I loved my mom and dad. And I loved my sisters. Not real good when they were my age and used to treat me mean. But overall, I loved them. We got a little older. I loved them. And I miss them. So how do you think God feels when he loves us with such an enduring, abiding love, an activating love, when we ignore him and turn our back upon him? Weathering the storms of conflict, affliction and turmoil and persecution is a good sign that you're saved. Now, I know we don't want to hear that, but the truth of it is, if you're going through tribulation and you're having heartache, disappointment, then you say, well, why is God doing this to me? He may be letting you know that you're saved. And he said, in this world we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I, he said, have overcome the world. Thirdly and lastly, God's love is an abounding love. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is closing out the chapter. I'm going to close it out for y'all in Justin's class, so get it now. But I'm sure you'll hear it probably better than this. But as he closes out, he's closing with confidence in their security. Confidence in their security. You know, today, this ought to make us know. Do you understand there's people today that say, well, if you sin too bad, you lose your salvation. If that be the case, we might as well tear these verses out of the Bible. Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. I'm thankful today for 1 John 1:9 said that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Paul chooses this chapter by speaking of that confidence that he had. And not only that, but he extends that confidence to us. He tells us that the security we enjoy is not a fleeting thing. It's an eternal thing, and God will always love us, and God will always keep us, and one day we'll dwell with him in heaven. According to these verses, nothing we encounter from the beginning of our life with God until the end of our life is able to ever suffer. That's a mind-boggling statement, isn't it? From the beginning of life to the end of life, there's nothing that's able to separate the believer from the love of God or the salvation the believer enjoys in Christ Jesus. Regardless of what we might face, God loves you. Even in death, God loves you. You said, but they were too young. Friend, God has a plan. But I can tell you this, God loves you in spite of all you think. He said, here's these other things. He said, that can separate us, he talks about. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:54-57, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the glory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on and talks about, even in life, Jesus is the sovereign Lord of all things. Everything that's here was created by him. And the Bible teaches us that we can have confidence in knowing even in life. I'm going to tell you, I believe I've lived the greatest life that anybody could live. I hope you would feel the same way and feel like that your life was the best life. You said, did everything go smoothly? No, but God never forsook me, and I knew that He loved me in spite of the things that I might go through. He was there to guide me, to walk with me, and to help me in life. He said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Then he speaks of angels. Now, angels was created by God. And so Jesus created the angel. And by the way, if he creates something, he controls them. At least he desires to control them. I think about people on earth. He don't always control them. He's given them a free will. But he could control us if he so desired. But the Bible said in Hebrews 1:4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Again, the angels give us peace. Powers and principalities, our rulers hold us in their power. They determine the boundaries of human lives. They write and enforce the law under which we live. But all are under the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, there's nothing that moves, exists, or happens without God's hand being involved. In Proverbs 21:1, listen, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Then things present, things to come. You remember what he told Moses? Moses said, Lord, I'm not able to go talk to Pharaoh and tell him to let them people go. And here's what the Lord said to him. He said, God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. Friend, that's all you need to know. He is the I am. Heights. Jesus died on the cross, rose again. What a glorious thought that is to understand today. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin, and again, there's more security about our salvation. The Bible said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, there's no other sacrifice for people to get saved again. If you're saved, he had the one sacrifice, and that was dying on the cross for our sin. And the Bible said, and Paul teaches us that we cannot be separated from it. In Ephesians 4:9-10, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descendeth is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. If you're a child of God, you don't need to fear the Lord. You don't need to fear anything. You just need to trust God because nothing can separate you. And then he used the word any other creature. Jesus is the creator of all things. He's sovereign over all things. And we need not fear what lies around us. He cannot separate us from the love of God. If you're saved this morning, and I hope you are, God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And please, I would not dare close this service by saying, just remember, God loves you. I'm going to close the service by trying to exhort to you the emphasis of the verses we just looked at, that God in heaven cares about you regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of the trials, God loves you. In my mind, I can't grasp the love of God. I can't comprehend God sending His Son to die for me, but I can still rejoice because He lives in me. There's a song said, He lives in me, He lives in thee. What I cannot understand, why He loves me, I can rest in His love because He does love me. I hope you know this morning that God loves you. I hope you rest in His blessed peace. If you don't, you need to come to Him and find out why the assurance of His love is missing in your life. But I can tell you today, this is a portrait of divine love. And I pray that you've experienced it in your life.